Welcome to Faith Point, the podcast ministry of First Southern Baptist Church of Prescott Valley, with Senior Pastor Terrell Eldrith. Our goal is to allow our faith to intersect with real life. So let's join Pastor Terrell today as he shares with us from God's Word.
I'll tell you about a company maybe you've never heard of before. A little company called Amazon. About this time of year, you've probably figured out that Amazon has changed the way that we all do Christmas, or most of us. It's amazing. It's become very practical. You just sit at your computer or on your tablet, and you can send gifts everywhere around the world. And some of them get there that same day, even. And you think, wow, this is pretty good. You can order groceries through that. You can do all kinds of things through that. And you may not realize it, but they have a little section in there. It's called a wish list. And you know what you can do with a wish list? You can put the things you would like to have on the wish list. And then other people can go and look at your wish list, and they can buy off of your wish list. It's kind of like a bridal list at a store, isn't it? It's that way. And you say, well, I don't want dumb stuff. I want these things. And, you know, I was thinking last night, if I had started using that a long time ago, maybe by now I wouldn't be getting so many socks and handkerchiefs for Christmas. And Amazon really is this amazing company. And it's pretty much known for good prices and pretty good service. When they began, their founder, Jeff Bezos, who's still the president of the company, or still the CEO, had this statement, and they've lived by it ever since. It says, "We're in this for the long haul." From the very beginning, they weren't concerned about what was going to happen next week. They didn't even get concerned about the next quarter. They had a long-haul look. He said, we don't care what the next quarter is going to do to our bottom line. We're concerned about 10 years from now. Now, almost every other company in the world is concerned about the next quarter. But Amazon says, what's it going to be like in 10 years? Where will we be 10 years from now? And they have stayed with that model ever since. We're in this for the long haul. Now, when they started 10 years ago, they were a success simply because they said, we're gonna just look at where's the next decade going to be? Where are we going to be at that time? And so today we're going to look at a guy who did much the same thing in his spiritual life. This morning, as we think about Christmas, we're thinking about a man named Simeon. We don't know a whole lot about him. He just shows up here in Luke chapter 2. He was a righteous and devout man, we're told, and he spent his entire life looking and eagerly waiting for God to send the Messiah to redeem Israel. And he had been told by the Holy Spirit at some point in his life, in some manner, in some way, the Holy Spirit had let him know and promised him that he would not die until he had seen Christ face to face. We have no information about how that took place other than what's just told here in these couple of verses. But I think about that, and I think, wow, what a thing to have the Holy Spirit tell you that you're going to see the Christ face to face before you die. What would you expect him to think? What might he have been expecting? Would he be expecting a little baby in a manger? Or would he have been expecting a man to come up to him? A grown man, fully cognizant, involved in ministry and those types of things. I suspect he probably was thinking he'd see a man, that he would meet a man. He probably was expecting this grown man who was part rabbi, who was part prophet, and who was part political leader, because that's what the model for Messiah was supposed to be as far as the Jewish mind was 2,000 years ago, and probably still is today. Somebody who has a spiritual bent, somebody who can tell you things are going to happen in the future, and somebody who can lead our country out of where they're at, in slavery, into freedom once again. But that's not what he received, was it? Instead, he finds this baby. But the promise was fulfilled. The Holy Spirit said, you will see the Christ child before you die. And sure enough, that's what happened. And so we don't know exactly how, but the Holy Spirit led him to that manger, or to Jerusalem rather, to the temple area, that very day that Jesus was brought by his parents to be dedicated to the Lord on his eighth day. And so we see that happening. And in chapter 2, verses 29 and 30 in the book of Luke, this is what we read. Sovereign Lord, now let your servant die in peace, as you have promised. I have seen your salvation. Thus Simeon prophesied about this Messiah in his arms. Not what he expected, most likely. But he breaks out in prophecy and in rejoicing. And in his words, they tell us so much. They tell us so much about Jesus, about who he is, and about why he came. And tells us so much about how we must respond to Jesus Christ. And so today we're going to look at three truths in Simeon's prophecy that will tell us somewhat about who Jesus is and how we're to respond to him today. So let's join together in prayer. Father, right now we thank you for your word. We thank you for the truth of your word. Pray, Father, that you would speak to us as we open it, as we look at Luke chapter 2, these few verses that are there that deal with Simeon's story. Father, let us see the inescapable Jesus. Let us see how futile it is to try to run away from him. Father, we pray that we would be drawn to him in this hour. We pray that Jesus Christ would be glorified in everything that we say and do, everything that we think, everything that we believe. And Father, we pray for someone who needs to trust him as their Savior and Lord today. We pray that today would be the day of their salvation. We pray these things in Christ's name. Amen. You want to know the gospel of Christ? We're talking about the gospel of Christmas. You want to know what the gospel of Christmas is in one sentence? The gospel of Christmas in one sentence is that because God sent his servant, his chosen one, his only begotten son to enter the human history, to die on the cross for our sins, and so that whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life, that's the gospel of Christmas in one sentence. That's what this whole month in my preaching is all about. What's in that one sentence? What difference it makes in our lives? And so today, as we look at this passage, this is what we read. In Luke chapter 2, verses 25 through 35, it says this. At that time, there was a man in Jerusalem named Simeon. He was righteous and devout, and eagerly waiting for the Messiah to come and rescue Israel. The Holy Spirit was upon him, and he revealed to him that he would not die until he had seen the Lord's Messiah. That day the Spirit led him to the temple. So when Mary and Joseph came to present the baby to the Lord as the law required, Simeon was there. He took the child in his arms and praised God, saying, Sovereign Lord, now let your servant die in peace, as you have promised. I have seen your salvation, which you have prepared for all people. He is the light to reveal God to the nations, and he is the glory of your people, Israel. Jesus' parents were amazed at what was being said about him. Then Simeon blessed them, and he said to Mary, the baby's mother, this child is destined to cause many in Israel to fall, but he will be a joy to many others. He has been sent as a sign from God, but many will oppose him. As a result, the deepest thoughts of many hearts will be revealed, and a sword will pierce your very soul. And thus our story begins. And so, three empowering truths that you need to see today that come from this prophecy of Simeon, from Simeon's prophecy. The first truth that it will empower us to live the life in relation to Jesus that we need is that because of Jesus, we know everything can be all right. Everything can be all right. When you listen to Simeon's words, you can hear how overcome he is with a peace and with optimism and with assurance. This senior man is standing there with this 8-year-old baby in his arms, and all of a sudden, his world is right. All of a sudden, he knows that God's in control, and what he's hoped for and prayed for all of his life is coming to pass. And so, especially in the King James Version, let's read this prophecy again, this statement about who Jesus is. We're going to read it in the King James Version. The rest we're going to be looking at is in the New Living Translation but in King James it says this: "Now lettest thou thy servant depart in peace according to thy word. For mine eyes have seen thy salvation, which thou hast prepared before the face of all people, a light to lighten the Gentiles, and the glory of thy people Israel." And so there is our memory verse in verse 32. And he was saying, this little child is the hope of all humanity. An eight-day-old baby is the salvation for everyone, for all of humanity. But that's what he's saying. He says he's a savior of all people. He's a savior of people in every nation and every generation. And he's the light to the Gentiles, but he's also a glory to the people of Israel, and he is the plan of salvation for the entire human race. There are not a lot of roads to heaven. There is only one. There are hundreds of religions around the world, even thousands. But there's only one way to a relationship with God, and that's through Jesus Christ. This 8-day-old baby, that's what Simeon was telling the world. That's what he's telling us 2,000 years later. That this baby, this one who was born in the manger, he is the real deal. He is the Messiah. He is the one who will save all people from their sins, because he is that hope of all humanity. Most people in the world think that the world is a terrible place. And maybe you find yourself being one of them from time to time. Fact is, I shared with you a while back that after the evening of the day of our election, or the next morning, whenever they told who the next president was going to be, one half of the United States was going to be in mourning, and the other half was going to be in celebration. But it's not there. It's just that day also means that a big portion of the world is scared about what's going to happen, and another part of the world is really happy about what might happen. You think, how can that happen with just one vote? Well, think about what happens with one baby who is born. People around the world think the world is getting worse and worse and worse and darker and darker and darker. And soon it's all going to come trashing down around us. You ever get up in the morning and think that? You ever turn on the news at night and think that? Pick up a newspaper and try to find some good news in it? We can fall into that trap. We can fall into that trap, the thinking that everything is just going to fall apart, and there's nothing we can do to stop it. And that part's probably true. There's very little we could do to stop it if that were true. But as bad as things are, that's not all there is to it. It simply isn't. There is another side of the story. The Bible predicts, naturally, that there are going to be some dark days, that they're going to happen just like they are now. They're going to be a part of human history. God didn't cover that up. He didn't say everything is going to be a bed of roses. He said there are going to be very dark times because Satan is still here. And Satan's going to make sure that things are miserable, and that your life is miserable. He's going to try to scare the bejeebers out of you as much as he can. He's going to make you want to stay in your house, close the curtains, lock the doors, and never come out again. And you may know somebody who lives that way because they're afraid, because they don't see any hope. They don't see any peace anywhere. But that's still not the end of the story. That's not the end of God's story. There is no amount of opposition or oppression. There's no failure and defeat there that is the end of the story. Tribulation is not the end of the story. What's the end of the story? The ultimate and complete victory through Jesus Christ. That's the end of the story. That's it. That when we know Jesus Christ, that through Jesus Christ, God's people will have eternal peace and never-ending joy for everyone who is his person, who is one of his people. That's the end of the story. That's the end of the book of Revelation. That's the end of the Bible. It says that what we go through today is not where it's going to end up at. And we don't have to give up hope. We can live in God's peace and joy in the middle of that. And when the Bible talks about the last days, it uses some imagery. I know we just went through like 2 years going through the book of Revelation together on Thursday night. And there's some stuff in there that's really hard to understand, to grasp exactly what that imagery is. But there's one part about the book of Revelation that I don't have any problem understanding. There's a part toward the end that just says, okay, this is reality, and I can understand it. I want you to look at Revelation chapter 21, verses 3 and 4, rather. It says, look, God's home is now among his people. He will live with them, and they will be his people. God himself will be with them. He will wipe every tear from their eyes, and there will be no more death or sorrow or crying or pain. All these things are gone forever. Amen. That's the end of this world. That's what's in store for us for eternity. And so I know life is dark sometimes. I know you go through hurtful times. We all do. And we make bad mistakes. And we do things that are just dumb. But it's not the end of our story. We have to learn to trust God for the end. Because Jesus Christ is the ultimate plan of the direction for humanity. This plan was set in motion on that silent night when Jesus was born in the manger. And that's what Simeon was acknowledging. He said, Jesus Christ came into the world to redeem all of those who wish to be redeemed. And because Jesus Christ, because of him, everything is going to be all right one day. It's all going to be all right. Even though we suffer trials and tribulations, even though the world creaks and groans in pain, and even though there's much wrong with what we see around us, we can know that God is moving in the right direction. That this world is in his power, and he's going to take care of it. And one day, we're going to live in a new heaven and a new earth with Jesus Christ in control. As we continue to think about that everything's going to be all right. I also want you to realize that this just isn't a pie in the sky kind of thing. Maybe it will, maybe it won't. It's not even just for all of eternity, for that time when we die and we're in heaven. It is also for today. That God can make things all right in your life today. That's his plan. That's what his desire is. that you would be all right in him. And the Christian life is not about gathering together in heaven at the end times, and we'll certainly do that, but the Christian life is about living in victory today, letting Jesus be the victor in our lives, even in the midst of the turmoil that we have to go through. And we can experience glimpses of his glory that he has in store for us as he empowers us to be overcomers today where we're at. So even today, you can be sure that, as Romans 8:28 says, when Paul says, "And we know that God causes everything to work together for the good of those who love God and who are called according to his purpose for them." And even today, we can be sure that, "What shall we say then," he says in Romans 8:31 and 32, "about such wonderful things as these? If God is for us, who can ever be against us? Since he did not spare even his son, but gave him up for all of us, won't he also give us everything else?" And then today we can say, as Paul did in Romans 8:37, "Despite all these overwhelming victory is ours through Christ who loved us." You know what the gospel of Christmas is? The gospel of Christmas is a promise that because of Jesus, everything is all right. Everything is going to be all right. Not just someday in a pie in the sky kind of hope, but right now, today, in 2024 and going into 2025, everything is going to be all right if you know Jesus Christ is your Savior. And it comes down to, if you're ready to plug your life into his, then you can experience overwhelming victory that he's promised his people. You have to make that choice. "God, I want to belong to you. Jesus, I want you to be the Lord of my life." And you give your heart and your life to him, and you plug into him. And when you do, you experience the victory that only he can give. And it doesn't matter what you're facing at that point. It doesn't mean that you'll face it easily, but you can go into it without fear. You can go into it with a peace to know that Jesus Christ, who is the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, who is the creator of everything, who is going to walk with you. That when you go into those dark valleys, he is there at the beginning of the dark valley, and he's going to walk all the way through you, through with you, and he's already at the other end of the dark valley beckoning you to come. He is not going to leave you in the darkness. He came to do something else. He came to give light. The second empowering truth is, not only because of Jesus is everything going to be all right, but because of Jesus, your life can be full of light. Jesus wants you to experience a life of light, not darkness. The world lives in darkness. The world celebrates darkness. The world hates light. And that makes no sense, I know. But look at the morals of our world, and you realize that Jesus came as light for a reason, because there was no light anywhere else. Without Jesus, there's no light to be found. Simeon called the baby Jesus the light to reveal God to the nations and the glory of your people Israel. You want to know what God is really like? You want to understand who God is? Let me challenge you to do a couple things. If you want to know who God really is, read the four Gospels: Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Read some of them every day. That's why I encourage you to do that, to read your Bible every day. But make sure that you're reading some in the gospel, if possible, every day. Even if it's just a verse or two. Read some of the gospels every day. You can read all of them in a relatively short time. But I want you to spend some time thinking about it. So as you read the gospels every day, you're going to start to see who God is. By, secondly, paying careful attention to everything Jesus says. You know, most of everything that we have that Jesus said is in those four Gospels. There are a few times when he's quoted in Hebrews and in Revelation, but most everything he says is there in those four Gospels. So if you want to know who God is, you turn to the Gospels and you want to really pay attention to what Jesus is saying, because he's revealing who God is. He reveals God by his life. He reveals God by the things that he said. And then I want you to watch very closely to what Jesus does in the Gospels. Watch his life in those 3.5 years between the time of his baptism until his ascension into heaven. Look at the things that he does. Pay attention to not only what he says, but what he's doing when he says them. And maybe what he's not doing. Sometimes we do things that Jesus says, "Those, I wouldn't do those things. Why are you doing them?" And so pay attention to the actions of Jesus Christ. Why would you do that? Why would you spend some time every day in the Gospels trying to get to know God, paying attention to everything Jesus says, and watching very closely everything that Jesus does? Because Jesus tells us that he is the exact representation of God. You say, "Well, I can't know God. Who can see God?" Well, you can see him every day in the Gospels. You can see him every day in the things that he said and the things that he did. And if you want to know him, don't complain that you can't know God. Just do the work. Be in the Gospels a little bit every day. Look at what Jesus told his followers in John 14:9. "Anyone who has seen me has seen" what? "Has seen the Father." It's no secret. He said, I am the exact representation of God for you right now. "And so watch me," he says. And he said to his critics in the temple in Jerusalem one day in John 10:30, "The Father and I are one." And the Apostle John said of him in John 1:9, "The one who is the true light, who gives light to everyone, is coming into the world." So John the Baptist said, we can look for the one that's coming. He's giving light. And we'll be able to see who God is through him. And Jesus came into the world for one particular reason, and that was to die on the cross. Make no mistake about it, the cross was not an accident. The cross was not a giant uh-oh or oops. It was the plan of God. It was the desire that Jesus pay the price for our sins. So he came to the cross so that we could live forever in heaven with him, because he is the one who would provide the salvation that we need. He came to teach us how to live and how to follow his light in this world. And he said, you can be that light now when you know me. So what did Jesus teach us when he was here for those 3.5 years? If we want to break it down into 3 things maybe that he taught us. The first thing he taught us was to forgive. If I'm going to watch his life and what he did, I'm going to discover a God who forgives. That was his primary purpose. If you want to know what living in darkness is like, if you really want to understand what it would be like to live in darkness for this life and for all eternity, then refuse to forgive others. Because that's what it leads to, that kind of darkness. That's what darkness does. Darkness says, I'm not forgiving anybody. I am not going to let them off of the hook. They made me mad, they hurt me, and I am going to make them pay for it for all of my life. I'm going to live in darkness. What a terrible way to choose to live. And that's no way for a Christian to live. What did Jesus do on the cross and leading up to the cross? He kept forgiving people. He just kept forgiving them. He offered a chance for Judas to repent at that upper room at the supper, at the Last Supper, he gave those elements to Judas, and Judas refused to repent. The soldiers pounding those terrible nails into the hands and feet of Jesus after they'd already beat him to a point where he didn't even look like a human being anymore. He said, "Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing." And to the men on the cross, he offered forgiveness. One said, "No way." The other accepted and found salvation. You want to be like Jesus, you got to learn to forgive. You don't have that option of not forgiving as a believer. Let me put it more succinctly. That's not in your wheelhouse anymore. If you have an unforgiving spirit, if you have someone in your life that you know that you should forgive and you have not done it, you're out of God's will. And you're not going to know the light of God. You're not going to know the peace of God in your heart. Your heart has a dark spot in it, and it's going to ruin your whole life. Jesus taught us to forgive. He also taught us to give. To give. You want to know what it's like to live in darkness? Then be selfish with your money. Now, I know you're in the most generous church I've ever been a part of. I don't know any other churches that are any more generous than you are, the givers. But if we're honest, all of us would probably say, but you know what? There's a little bit of selfish in me. There's a little bit that says, I don't think I want to give that much right now. Are you sure 10%, God? Can I just kind of take a week off? Maybe a year off or something like that? Wouldn't 2% do good? You know, if you want to be selfish, you're going to be in darkness. You're going to feel guilty all the time. Guilt is always, as we talked about last Thursday night, for those of you who are there in the Gospel of John, guilt is always associated with darkness. When you're guilty, you don't put up big banners on your front porch and big lights and big blow-up things that says, "I'm guilty. I'm a selfish so-and-so. Come and look at me." You don't do that. You don't go around saying to people, "Look at what I did. Look at the sins that I did. I want you to know. I want you to revel in them like I'm trying to revel in them." No, you don't do that. Instead, you hide out in the dark someplace. As I said Thursday night, just like when a little child does something wrong, they know they did something wrong. And they don't run out to their parents and say, "Look what I did that's wrong." They do it and then go hide somewhere in a dark corner, thinking you won't ever find them and you won't know that they did that. Our old nature runs away from the light and hides in the darkness. And it shows most often, first of all, in our unforgiveness, and secondly, in our selfishness, and we refuse to give. And then Jesus taught us to serve others. To serve others. And again, if you want to know what living in the darkness is like, then love only to please yourself. I don't have time to go take care of somebody else. I don't want to go volunteer anywhere. I don't want to do anything that's going to make me uncomfortable. Besides, some of those people give me the creeps. What if I get the cooties from them? I might get sick and die. If you get sick and die, it won't be because God forgot about you. It'd be because God says everyone's appointed once to die. And so, what does Jesus do? Jesus doesn't run away from lepers. He moves toward lepers. Jesus doesn't refuse to touch them. Instead, he does touch them. He said, "I will serve the most undesirable, the most pitiful people in the world." He served Zacchaeus, that wee little man, who everybody hated. He says, Zacchaeus, come on down. I'm going to go to your house today. And he served the family of Zacchaeus. Jesus was a servant. He washed the feet of his disciples before that last meal with them, including the feet of Judas. Including his feet. Can you imagine if there were a man in your house, guys, that you knew was going to sell you out in just a couple of hours, and that you'd be arrested, and that before 12 hours would go by, you would be hanging on a cross? Would you invite him into your house and wash his feet? Jesus said, if you want to be a servant, you have to be a servant of all. And so we learn servanthood from Jesus Christ. And the Apostle John said in 1 John 1:5, he said, God is light, and there is no darkness in him at all. That's what we learn when we look at the life of Jesus. In 1 John 1:7, he goes on to say a couple of verses later, but if we are living in light, as God is in the light, then we have fellowship with each other, and the blood of Jesus, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. I've seen this happen enough times that I can say with assurance that if you listen and follow Jesus, you're going to make better decisions in your life. It just happens because you're not in the darkness. You're looking at the light and you're walking in the light, and so you make better decisions, and you're going to make better relationships. It's going to matter the people that you hang out with, and you're going to have better relationships with those people, and you're going to experience more victory over sin. And when you fall, and you will from time to time, you're going to get up faster and get restored sooner because you're walking in the light most of the time. And so when you decide to be like that, this statement becomes true. People who walk with Jesus discover the world is full of light. It doesn't have to be full of darkness for you. It is full of light. And that's what we learn from the gospel according to Jesus. That's what we learn from Simeon's prophecy. Jesus came to be light to the nations, and that includes you specifically in your day-to-day experience. That's why that baby Jesus came. But there's a third empowering truth that I want you to see this morning. Jesus came, and because he came, everything's going to be all right. And because he came, he's the light of the world. Everything is full of his light. And thirdly, because of Jesus, everyone must make a choice. We all have to make a choice. No one is excluded from this. You don't get to take a pass. You have to make a choice. Again, look at verses 34 and 35 of Luke chapter 2. Then Simeon blessed them, and he said to Mary, the baby's mother, this child is destined to cause many in Israel to fall, but he will be a joy to many others. He has been sent as a sign from God, but many will oppose him. As a result, the deepest thoughts of many hearts will be revealed, and a sword will pierce your very soul. Because of Jesus, everything's going to be all right? Yes. Because of Jesus, we can be full of light? Yes. But the question is, for whom? For whom is it going to be all right? There's only one answer to that. It's not everybody who hoped good and thought good and tried good, tried to be religious, was religious, was born in the right country. None of those are the right answer. For whom is it going to be all right? For whom is the light going to shine in the world? The answer is for those who choose Jesus. That's the only way. There's only one answer to that question. Earlier, when I quoted the book of Revelation and the promises that every tear will be wiped away and death and pain will be gone away with, the book of Revelation also tells us that there will be those who will spend eternity separated from God. They thought they were all right. They thought they had enough light. They're going to spend eternity in eternal darkness, in pain and suffering. The second death, the Bible says. So what's the determining factor? Because that seems like a pretty important piece of information, doesn't it? If there's only one right answer, what determines what that right answer is? Who determines it? Well, this is the answer for that. That one answer, that one choice, is yours and yours alone. Nobody else can make it for you. Nobody else can force you into it. Parents can't make you. Parents can't do it for you. Your spouse can't do it for you. Your neighbor can't do it for you. Your church can't do it for you. I can't, as your pastor, do it for you. There's only you. You're the only one who can make that choice. Everyone has a choice to make. And where you spend eternity, in that blessed place called heaven, in that new heaven and new earth, where everything is going to be all right, where everything is going to be full of light? Or are you going to spend it in the darkness of an abyss with pain that will go on for eternity? That's up to you. And not only is that up to you, how you live your life today is up to you. If you want to live in darkness, God will let you live in darkness. If you want to live in the light of Jesus Christ, he invites you in. But you make the choice. Nobody else can do that for you. Each person has to decide what he or she is going to do with Jesus Christ. And so today, will you accept him or are you going to reject him? Will you believe in him or will you dismiss him? Will you follow him or will you ignore him? Those are big questions. And everyone in here is faced with that. Either you have already trusted Jesus to be your Savior and Lord, and you need now to choose every day to live in his light, or you've not trusted him to be your Savior and Lord, and you're living in darkness because you don't see any of that light in your life. And everything is depressing. And everything is scary. And everything ends in turmoil and pain. Or you can choose to make a difference. There's some people are going to ask, what about those people who live on the backside of the backside and never heard about Jesus? What about them? And that's a good question. And the short answer is, I don't know exactly. But I do know that we have a God who is just, who is righteous, who is holy, and who is loving. And that's not changing. And I know that God's got it covered. I don't have to understand how he's covering it. And you don't have to understand how he's covering it. Part of it is he's using us. Part of it is how we go out, how we follow through with the Great Commission, and we send missionaries, and we go as missionaries, and we go to our neighbors, and we tell the gospel. We tell people about Jesus Christ. But but the Bible also says in Jeremiah 29, verse 13 and 14, if you look for me wholeheartedly, you will find me. I will be found by you, says the Lord. And so there's a part of me that has to trust that verse is true also. That there are people who are saying there has to be a God, and it can't be a rock, and it can't be a piece of wood, and it can't be some animal. It can't be a star. It has to be someone. There has to be a God. And I'm looking for him wholeheartedly, and God is going to answer. God is going to hear that plea and see that search, and he is going to answer that. And no one is going to stumble unknowingly into hell any more than they're going to stumble into heaven. Everybody gets to one of those two places by choice. You either choose heaven or you choose hell. You don't just walk along one day and suddenly fall in. It is always an intelligent choice. Everyone gets a choice, and that includes everyone in this room. Includes every one of you who are online with us right now. Everyone has a choice to make. So the question this morning that wraps it all up is, then what are you going to do? Jesus said in Matthew 12:30, he who is not with me is against me. He also said in Mark 9:40, whoever is not against us is for us. So what's he saying? Jesus saying that you can't ride the fence. You've got to come down one side or the other. There is no middle ground. You're either in or you're out. You're either moving forward or you're moving backwards. You're either walking toward the light or you're heading toward the darkness. That's why it's so important, Christian friends, don't try to saddle to say, okay, I want to keep a foot in the light and a foot in the darkness, because you're either moving toward light or you're moving toward darkness. There is no in between. There's no gray area. And so Jesus says, I want you to come and be in the light. And Simeon says, this baby is light. This baby is the light we need, and we need to follow him. Do you remember what I said about Amazon? I said they have this motto that they're not gonna stop. They're in this for the long haul. You know, the company went public 27 years ago. And when they went public, they offered stock for $18 a share. And that was pretty good, I guess. If you or me had been around and were smart enough, we might have said, okay, I'll buy 100 shares at $18. So $180. Although 27 years ago, that was like all our whole fortune. But that would have been a lot. But, you know, today that doesn't sound like very much. I checked it this week, a couple days ago, and Amazon stock is somewhere right around $250 a share right now. So if you'd just invested $180, right now you would have had $25,000 as compared to having your $18 for 27 years. If you'd think about that, if you'd done 1,000 shares, it wouldn't be $25,000. You have $250,000 right now. But it doesn't happen overnight, does it? You would have had to hang on to that for 27 years, and it wasn't all a straight line going up. It was like, you know, like a roller coaster, like every other stock is. But they never changed their motto. We're not in this for the short game. We're in this for the long haul. That's what Simeon's saying. He's saying that this walk with Jesus is not going to be a short gain kind of thing. It is not about instant Christianity and spiritual life. It is a life with Jesus Christ that is in it for the long haul. The Christian life is not a sprint. You've heard this before. It's a marathon. You're going to work at this your whole life. All of us do. It's the only way. There is no short-term thing. It is for all of your life. It's a long-term investment. Because of Jesus, everything is all right. And we've been promised the glory of heaven, no tears, no pain, no sorrow, but also victory, overwhelming victory in this life. because of Jesus, the life, your life can be full of life. You can know God personally. You can walk with him every day. And you don't have to stumble through the darkness and uncertainty because he's going to be with you, lighting your way. And you have a choice to make because of Jesus. And that choice is up to you. If we can make it for you, we would. If I can make sure everybody in this room, if everybody that's hearing us right now is going to go to heaven, and I could push a button to make that happen, I would. But we don't have that power because God puts that on you. That's your free choice to make. But if you make that choice, you know what you're going to be able to say. You know what's going to happen in your life. Things that you never thought would take place will happen. But you can say, I choose Jesus to be my salvation, my light, my future, and my hope. And you can do that right now. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for the hope. Thank you for the light, for the future that you give to us. I pray, Father, that today, if there's even one who's just been trying to be religious enough to get into heaven but didn't really want to make a commitment to you, they never trusted you to be their Savior, that today would be the day. I pray that the Holy Spirit has been speaking to them as we've been in here in this worship service, and that now they see that there is a hope, that there is a place where they can find a future, that there is salvation, and it's in no one else but Jesus Christ. And we pray that right now they would trust him to be Savior and Lord, that they would simply say, Jesus, I've been trying to do this on my own and it's not working. I still feel like I'm in the darkness, because they are. So, Father, I pray that they would say, Jesus, I want to confess my sin to you. I repent of it. I want to turn away from that and I want to walk toward your light. And then, Father, I pray that you would allow your Holy Spirit to come into their life. That the blood of Jesus Christ that was the payment for their sin would wash their sin away. And that they may be made brand new in you. Father, we pray for their salvation right now. Pray that someone here that has already done that just now, that they would come and tell us that so that we can rejoice with them, so that we can help them to grow. For those who are online, we pray, Father, that they would let us know, or they would find a church that teaches and preaches God's word so that they can grow. And Father, we pray for each of us who's already made that choice, but we find ourselves trying to straddle light and darkness, to walk a fine tightrope, saying, I want to keep in both sides. Father, let us let go of the darkness. Let us cling to Jesus Christ and walk in his light on a daily basis. We pray these things in Christ's name. Amen. Let's stand together as we sing. If God's speaking to you, won't you come this morning? We'd be delighted to celebrate with you, to pray with you. If you need to be baptized or you want to follow in believer's baptism, come and let us know as well.
Thank you for joining us today for Faith Point. Reach us online at firstsouthernpv.org or stop by to worship with us if you are in the Prescott Valley area. May God richly bless you today as you allow your faith to intersect with your life.